ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm a-going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm a-going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm a-going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, all you fisher people, and welcome to this week's episode of Why Fish Radio. Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba, Trophy Cat Adventures of Grand Forks, North Dakota, Bullet Bobber, and last but not least, Northern Heat Outerwear. I'm here with my trusty co-host, Brad. Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Sitting here on a fine Monday evening. It's a little bit of snow coming down outside. We're watching a fishing show. It looks like a much warmer day than we're having up here in the North Country right now. But no complaints. Life's pretty good.
Well, I think winter is upon us here. They're calling tonight for some blizzard warnings or winter weather advisories or something or other, and they say stay hunkered down till Wednesday at least. So here we are. We're going to talk about fishing. Any good fishing experiences since the last episode?
Nope. Like I say, I had that trip last weekend. I was out on the Rainy River for the finale there and got out and caught some walleyes. And, you know, the way things are looking right now, that's probably going to be it. And, you always like to end a season on a good note, and, you know, I'm kind of looking at that, too. And, I mean, that was a great way to wind down some pretty memorable open water fishing. Weather was a bit of a detriment for us up here the first part of the summer, but once things straightened out, it was a pretty good year, and last weekend certainly fit that mold.
Well, I went deer hunting, and on Friday I was deer hunting in short-sleeve shirts, so a little too warm for that front. Thinking more I should have been sitting in Devil's Lake or on the river or something or other that day, but you know what? The season calls and needed that change of pace like we talked about last week.
Well, apparently there were still some fish being caught on the river right here in Grand Forks, as I know you saw as well. A guy we know in town here, he and his wife were out on Friday afternoon, just an absolutely beautiful day. I was sitting chained to my desk, looking at the nice clear sunshine outside and thinking, man, I would like to be fishing today. And they went out, and among the fish they caught were a walleye that I guess was, somewhere over 9.5 pounds, a 27-inch fish. I mean, that's a real toad of a walleye, for a fish that length, weigh over 9 pounds, dandy.
Well, shouldn't a fish about that long only weigh like 7 pounds, about 7 pounds, wouldn't it be?
That's normally the kind of the conventional wisdom when you look at the length weight charts, for a 27-inch walleye. And, I mean, I've seen them weigh less than that, but, this was one robust fish, and just goes to show what we've got here right in our backyards. And, we talk about it week in and week out, but it's just an amazing thing. And, the more I go out there, the more amazed I am.
Well, it just seems that there's a little diamond in the rough that our local CVB hasn't figured out yet. And I think they need a little enlightening with some of the recent walleye events. That should get their attention if catfish hasn't already.
Absolutely. And, I was talking about this with a coworker a couple of nights ago, and we're, kind of talking about that perception. And of course, this is something we've touched on in the past, too, is, it's still firmly engraved, and it's probably the same with any river system across the country, that, this is a dangerous body of water that you should stay away from, at all costs. And, it's like any river, any body of water, you use a little bit of common sense. And, take a few safety precautions. I mean, don't get too close to low-head dams. Keep your life jackets on or keep them handy. Basic things like that. There's no reason not to get around and play. And as a general rule, rivers are full of fish, and the fish are often willing to bite.
Well, that's absolutely true. Believe it or not, folks, that wasn't even our subject for tonight's show. Basically, we're in the transition time. We got snow, cold temperatures coming on. We're waiting on the ice to form for the local hard water fanatics. And we're, kind of at the end of the open water season. where those of us who prefer that are kind of, well, if we get one more nice day, we might sneak out, but it's not looking good for us. So I think we're going to talk about how to get ready for the next season.
Well, that's always, it's one of those things you need to kind of pass the time, during that period, because there's always about 2-3 weeks where, you don't want to get out in a boat at that point in time, and there's not ice, or if there is, there's certainly not enough to try to walk on safely. And, just to kind of feed that fever until things fall into place, it makes sense to use that time constructively. Maybe it's putting away your summer gear for the season, getting the boat winterized, doing things like that, getting your rods and reels put in a good place so they're not, sitting in the back of your truck like mine are. But, and the other thing is, getting your winter gear ready, getting your ice house in place, getting your rods and reels lined up, knowing where everything is so that when that day comes and you can get out, you can basically hook up and go. I'm sitting here talking about this, but to be completely honest with you, I'm a little bit lax on that front, but I vow to do better.
Well, I have to say, and let me just say right now, it's bragging. Last year, after the last outing, I actually took all the tip-ups, took them off, took all the hooks, leaders, swivels, everything off them, cut the last 5 feet of line off like they tell you to do in all the textbooks and nobody ever does, and then tied all the swivels and leaders and hooks back on, made sure the hooks were sharp, weighted, and ready to go. So when pike season opens on this ice fishing, all I got to do is drop it down the hole. Never happened before, probably never happen again, but hey, every now and again, something crazy happens in my life.
You get lucky sometimes, but I bet you, when you look back on it, it wasn't that much work to get that stuff ready. I mean, it probably didn't take a big investment of time, maybe just a commitment to spend 10, 15 minutes, but now everything's in place. And I mean, I've been down in your basement, in your cabin. I've seen it. It's pretty impressive, but you'll be able to hit the ground running on that deal. But how about that auger? How's that doing? It seems to me your blades were a little bit knotted up after drilling into some mud.
Well, there's something that I really goofed up on. A couple of years ago, I was doing some of that shallow water tip-up fishing, and I nailed a rock at the bottom. That's what happens when you're running with 6 inches of water under 3 feet of ice. So I've had a nick. It's not cutting quite the way it should, and I need new blades or a sharpen or something, and the offer came out to take them off and get them sharpened at no charge. And, of course, what do? I forget to do it and procrastinate, and now I'm staring down the ice fishing season, and it'll either be dull blades or I'll be shelling out $40 for another set.
And I mean, there's another thing too. I mean, just start that auger before you head out on the ice. Make sure it's running. It's probably got the same gas that hit in it, last March or April or, whenever you put away the ice fishing gear for the year. My auger's been sitting in the garage all summer. I actually did put some stable gas conditioner in it before I stored it, so I'm ahead of the game compared to most years on that front, but that's one thing I'm going to make a real conscious effort to do is just fire that thing up, make sure it's ready to go. That's the nice thing about early ice. I mean, the first couple times I'll be going out, I'll probably start going out when there's about 4 inches of ice. I've been out on as little as 2. Didn't particularly enjoy that, and I don't think I'd really recommend it to anyone unless you're really, really an experienced ice fisher person and really know what you're doing. But I remember, being out on 2 inches of ice, being set up in my portable and looking down and just thinking about just how little was between me and that open water that I could see so clearly below. But, get that auger ready. And like I say, even though you can use a hand auger at first, it's no reason to procrastinate because you're going to need that gas auger sooner or later.
Believe it or not, that's one thing that I've been very good at. Now, I've only owned my power auger for 3 seasons. But one of the things I've always done is poured a little stable through in it, ran it through, and then filled the tank up full in the spring. Now, I actually don't go through a whole lot of gas, maybe half a gallon a season. So what I did is I fill it full to store it, and then about this time of year, I'll mix up fresh gas and oil, and I'll actually dump the old out. And what I usually do is just dump it right into my truck and then put a load of fresh gas in and then start it up and run it. And I tell you, I think that's been really keeping my auger healthy in the 3 years I've owned it, is doing that, because it can't condense because I have gas in it, yet I'm stabilizing it correctly and then running fresh gas for the rest of the year.
Again, what you're looking at there is, you know, something that's it's pretty basic, not a big investment in time, but certainly pays big dividends, you know, as far as your quality time on the ice. Because, you know, believe me, whether it's an outboard or an ice auger or anything like that, there's nothing worse than equipment that malfunctions. And, you know, so often it's a result of, you know, neglect. And, you know, like you mentioned, just, you know, taking those little steps, it's paid off for you for a few years now. And this year will probably be more of the same. But I guess personally, you know, when it comes to looking at ice fishing, and I think it's mainly because, you know, the mid part of the summer and this fall, you know, there's been some just amazing fishing trips. I'm not quite as anxious for hard water this year as I am some years. I just as soon be out doing the open water thing for a little longer. But I am going to make a conscious effort now to kind of get stuff ready. You know, whether it happens or not remains to be seen, but it's a good thought.
Well, I get into this conversation with a lot of the big ice fishermen. Personally, I like open water. I don't get too bent out of shape and looking for ice fishing. I like ice fishing. It's a nice change. It's exciting. It's fun. But, you know, I like a boat. I'm sorry. That's just my personal opinion. So I'm always a little sad to see it go. And with this show, you know, we've been preaching fall fishing, fall fishing, fall fishing. By golly, I fall fished this year, and it was a lot of fun, so I'm kind of sad to see it go as well.
Absolutely, but, you know, I guess as the old saying goes, you know, to everything there is a season, and I would miss that variety. I mean, I like the chance to be able to do these different things and, you know, kind of the opportunities that ice fishing provides, but, you know, as we get into that, we're going to have to start making some plans on, you know, some excursions we've talked about that we got to, you know, make an effort to make happen this year. When you need to catch a lake trout through the ice, I need to catch a sturgeon through the ice. You know, there's some big greenback walleyes that we never got up to Canada and fished this fall that hopefully we can do once it freezes up. So, you know, there's some reasons to be excited about it as well. But, you know, like I say, overall, I'm just not as excited as I have been some years.
Well, I think with the end of deer season coming, maybe if this little blizzard turns out, that's going to spur it. It seems like it's got to be here staring me in the face before I get too fired up about it. But I'm with you there. I need to catch a lake trout. That's big. And we need to get up and just try some of those trips that never happened. And I think we've got a few dandies in the works. It's just a matter of following through now.
Absolutely. I mean, the contacts have been made. The connections are there. It's just a matter of finding the time. And I mean, that's a pretty good problem to have. But, you know, you talk about being prepared for ice fishing. I always have to kind of laugh when I think about, you know, some of the things that have happened to me. In fact, we were talking earlier before we went on the air, and all of a sudden I had this revelation that, oh, yeah, I've got a cooler in the back of my truck that has shiners in it from over a week ago. And it hasn't been that cold. I mean, we've had some days that have been 50 degrees and, you know, almost pushing 60 degrees. So I kind of hate to think about what I'm going to find. I might just leave it till it gets to be 20 below, because by that time all the biology will have run its course and it'll be just a frozen solid chunk of, you know, matter of some kind, and probably won't be nearly as nasty as what it is right now. But there's something I got to deal with. And, you know, I remember one year hopping into my fish house for the first time of the season, and there were minnow skeletons all over the floor. And I guess they were there from the minnows I'd thrown on the floor during my last trip. And, you know, luckily they were just skeletons. But, again, you know, just an example of maybe not cleaning house as well as I should have.
Is that along the lines of getting your hunting vest out and finding a grouse skeleton in the back of it from last year?
Oh, yeah. That definitely takes the cake as far as extreme incidents. And by the way, this particular situation of which he describes did not happen to me. But
it's not me either.
It's it's one of those things you just kind of go, oh man. And you know, that's a lot bigger than a minnow, and there's a lot more things to stink than there is in a minnow. So that, you know, great story, but again, you don't ever want to have that happen.
As the story ends, it the vest ended up in the garbage and there was a new one purchased. And I think the show's going downhill in a hurry, so we're gonna call it right here. Hey, folks, don't forget to call Stu and the boys. Get on some of those greenbacks. I'm sure that's still going on. As soon as the ice gets safe, that's going to remain going on. Check them out, catsontheread.net. Down here in Grand Forks, hey, we got a new walleye fishery. What do you know? good catfishing in the spring, call Kent up at Trophy Cat Adventures. Check him out on the web, trophycatadventures.com. And, of course, with ice fishing coming, we've got Northern Heat. And their website is, their new website is not fully complete yet, so we'll hang on that. But they'll be available soon. Check out our sponsors because they're what make the show happen. Brad, anything else to add?
Nope, that'll about do it. So I guess for this week, until next time, keep your line in the water, keep it tight, most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.